The following talk was given by Father John Harden's May 5th through 9th, 1999 Retreat for Men, sponsored by the Institute on Religious Life in Chicago.
In this conference, I hope we can finish our reflections on the Lord's Prayer. We pray, asking, O Lord, give us this day our daily bread. The obvious meaning of this petition is asking, of course, for physical bread, food for the hungry. In the United States, have only a vague idea of the millions who are literally starving to death. Only God knows how many. However, this petition covers both physical bread necessary for the sustenance of the body and spiritual bread, the truth necessary for the sustenance of the soul. They are living, unquestionably, in a nation, in a world where millions are physically starving to death. And what is millions? Now that starvation, as we know, is a deliberate attempt on the part of physical leaders to wipe out millions of human beings who are considered unworthy of bodily food. However, the need for spiritual food is, I don't say obviously, greater. It is very grave, and I would add, gravest in wealthy nations like our own. Our country, physically, is well fed. Yet, there are millions in the United States who don't have enough to eat. Yet, the main focus of this petition is not for bodily food to sustain our physical life. Our main plea is for God to supply knowledge of the truth. And here, in the United States, I say this with complete certitude. The United States is consciously and deliberately being starved to spiritual death. All you have to do is read the newspapers. Our media are controlled. I mean this, controlled by enemies of God. And there is not enough food for the soul. But this food to sustain the spiritual life of the soul, this food is not provided widely. Widely unprovided for millions in our own nation. Our media of communication are consciously and deliberately deprived of what human beings need to know the truth. There's only one food that will nourish the human spirit, and that is the truth. I repeat, our media are consciously, deliberately, shall I add, demonically, depriving our people of the truth they need to nourish their minds with, to sustain themselves spiritually. What is Christ promised? Christ promised that those who seek the kingdom and the justice of God will receive everything else besides. But notice, they must first seek the kingdom of God and His divine justice. Then, and only then, will God provide what else they need. I could speak literally for 2 semesters on the deliberate preparation of hundreds of millions in the world today of what they need to sustain themselves, even in body life. But our focus here in the retreat is on the world depriving millions of the truth, which is the only food on which the spirit of man can even survive. Well, I've said it before, but I'll be a little clearer or forthright now. Whatever decisions you make during this retreat, in God's name, re-examine your consciences on what you read. We are so accustomed to reading just about everything in sight. I dare say for some of you, you don't even know what I'm talking about. We cannot, repeat the verb, we cannot read everything readable. I don't mean open and obvious pornography. I don't mean obvious and open lies. But our media have been penetrated, shall I call it, by a demonic strategy. You read the papers, the newspapers, and all I have to tell you is continue reading those papers. What I'm telling you will be lost on thin air, and your faith is suffering Only God knows. I don't know. But I know among the teachings, among yourselves, there are men who must make a decision to remove, I mean remove, certain reading from their lives if they want to shine out. If it remain spiritually alive, I could go on now, not just for hours, but for days. Examine your conscience. Ask the Lord to tell you what reading you must remove as a resolution for this retreat. There is such a thing as precious time lost in reading sheer nonsense. There is a mind being plagued by error. I know the media well enough. I've taught over the years graduate courses on the media. There is reading which I dare say, what a statement, every one of us, including myself, should remove from our lives. Well then, conversely, there is reading we should do. How many people, among yourselves, I'm asking for a raising of hands, have read one of the Pope's letters to the church, say, the last 6 months? Thanks. There is a great deal of truth available. Read it. Consciously decide before the retreat is over. How are you going to master your spiritual life by making sure that your mind is exposed to frequent, sound Catholic reading? We go on. When we speak of bread, we mean, of course, physical bread too. Again, only God knows how many Americans, are not being adequately fed because there are those who deprive the people of the necessary food they require. Over the years, and I think I've said on more than one occasion, I finished my doctoral studies in human psychology. There are people in the Americas who are deprived of the food they really need for their bodies. America is a wealthy nation. But I mean this. There are Americans who are starving. We continue. forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. This is not just a mysterious, but shall I add, a frightening petition. We ask God to forgive us, but hear it, only in the measure that we forgive those who offend us. What is unique about this petition of the Lord's Prayer? It is unique in having a condition attached to receiving the request from God. No doubt, what we ask for is in the future. But this will be future tense, granted only if we fulfill the divine demand for the present. When I speak to women, give retreats to women, I assure you, it's a different retreat. But we men are also liable to sin by not fully and completely forgiving those who have trespassed against us. We are almost to the end of the retreat. Before we close, I beg you, examine in God's presence whom in your life you are still considering, claims it, an enemy. We've all been offended. We've all been hurt. We're all being deprived of what we need by those who know what they are doing. And the hardest thing, I mean it, the hardest thing in life is to honestly, interiorly forgive a person who has been openly and not just the last day or two, over the years, openly unjust to me. We are living in a nation, hear it, of massive injustice. There is a confession which we make in this petition. It is the admission that we have sinned by the prodigal son and the publican. We deny we are sinning before God, even as we confess our misery, we profess our faith in God's mercy. I'm not speaking to women. I'm speaking to men. I know what it means to be done in injustice, grave injustice, and to keep that unjust recollection on our mind for years. I'm not speaking to women, but to men. God will be only as merciful to us as we are merciful to others, which means merciful to people who have obviously not just offended us on some occasion, but deprived us of what we need. I here expand in detail on the widespread massive injustice against believing Catholics today. to what degree does God's mercy penetrate our heart? What a question. God's mercy penetrates our heart only to the extent that we forgive those who have offended us. Love, like the body of Christ, is indivisible. We cannot hear it, we cannot love God, if we do not see us we love our neighbor, our brother or sister, whom we do see. I know what I'm talking about. We have all, over the years, been deeply offended, deeply hurt, deeply deprived of what we need. And as we realize this, the human instinct tends to take over. If they refuse to forgive those who have offended us, and I can tell you, I've had some deep, profound offenders in my life. Bishops, priests, because of whom I am deprived, and deprived for years, for my soul has been deeply hungering for. The secret is not to ignore, but to be conscious of being done massive injustice, maybe for years. Realize, I've been done grave, I repeat, injustice. I don't keep that injustice on my mind, keep it off my mind. But as it comes back, I tell God, Lord, you will forgive me my sins, and they are numerous, only in the measure that I forgive everyone who has offended me. In the confession of our sins, open our heart to God's grace. But this confession must include our readiness to forgive those who have deeply, may now be deeply offending us. I'm not indulging in rhetoric. This is God's truth. We continue. And lead us not into temptation. A strange, to put it mildly, request of God. How did this petition go to the root of the preceding one? It goes to the root because our sins are not coercive. We sin not because we are tempted, but because we consent to the temptation. Every human being hear it. Every human being is constantly tempted. That is human life on earth. What are we really praying for? We are praying not to be allowed to enter into temptation. Lead us into sin. the scripture to us. The just man sins seven times a day. Question. Does God have to tempt anyone to sin? The answer is no. God wants us to grow here, to grow in sinlessness as we grow in age. A very practical question. Do we have to struggle to avoid sin? Of course. There's within us the constant conflict between the flesh and the spirit. In this petition we ask the Holy Spirit for discernment and strength to recognize when we are being tempted to sin. Let me tell you, the devil is very, very clever. We can be tempted to sin and believe we are requesting to do God's will. What is the first discernment for which we are praying? We ask God to be able to distinguish. The old simple statement is, distinguish between the trial that would help us grow in virtue and temptation that would lead to sin and even spiritual death. And this, I can assure you, is not easy to distinguish. And I mean this. The more sincere a person is, wanting to serve God, the more God will allow him to be tempted. Tempted, hear it. Tempted by good people. Tempted to do what is obviously good. Listen, we have only so much grace to resist temptation. All we need light from God to distinguish a temptation which God does not want us to undergo and a trial that God wants us to undergo. I could spend hours now on this subject. Be sure you know what temptations are inevitable in your life. There are temptations in a man's life to which God does not want that person to be exposed. Avoid, in God's name, avoid temptations which are not part of God's will for you. All the wisdom, the shrewdness, the prudence this takes. It means you must be very wise in your choice of companions. You must be shrewd in whom you engage in conversation. You must be wise in knowing what you discuss with whom and what you don't ever bring up with someone else. The devil, I repeat, is very clever. on this level of avoiding sin by being led into temptation and asking God to deliver us from those temptations which He does not want us to be subject to. May I suggest three things. Examine the people with whom you associate. Find out with God's grace whom of these people you should not associate with.